One, two. Would you two be able to do readings, just the two of you, for us? Who've got the NIV? One, two, three, four, five. Okay. The church Bibles are NIV. Okay. Okay. Has anybody got the New Living? Okay. All right. All right. We'll stick with the NIV then. And we'll have this side read to that side and that side read to this side. So this side, you're starting and you're going to read the first six verses, please, of chapter 14. Ready? Go. Thank you. Notice it says accept. It doesn't just say tolerate. We want to be fully accepted. We want to feel accepted. We want to feel included. That's necessary. That's important. My father was really shocked. I was about 21, still living at home, and one of the other elders, my father was an elder, one of the other elders in the church took off on Sunday afternoon in his speedboat and had fun out on the water. And my father thought, wow, what kind of a man is that? And these days, we would probably think maybe that's fine, that God gives, Jesus himself said, the Sabbath wasn't made for man. I mean, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. But back in those days, my father was critical of that brother. Maybe he was just before his time. Who knows? It was something that shouldn't divide us. My father kept Sunday as special. That man enjoyed Sunday to be the day off that he needed on his week's work. They were both accountable to God. All right. I'd like this side, please, to read verses 10 to 12. Ready? Go. And I'm going to read 15 and verse 7. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. My best friend at school also now lives in Perth. He goes to Mount Pleasant Baptist and he wears a suit to church in honour of God. He said, if the Queen was here, I'd wear a suit. I'm going to wear a suit for God. And God will bless him for that. He's making a special statement to God from the bottom of his heart. But if he starts getting critical of me because I don't, then he'll lose that blessing, won't he? If his heart is just filled with worship for the Lord, Lord, I'm wearing this because it's special for you, that's beautiful. And God will bless that. But if he wants to make a law that everybody in Mount Pleasant has to wear a suit, I mean, I remember Burwood Baptist, no, Burwood Church of Christ in Sydney, and they had a wonderful youth group. And just before the evening service, the whole youth group used to do a trawl around the town centre, walking along, trying to bring some other young people with them. And they used to wear the commonest possible clothes so that anybody, no matter what they were wearing, would feel free in the service. That's a beautiful motive too, isn't it? And one's not going to criticise the other, I hope. Let's just have a beautiful motive before the Lord. And it's not wrong to ask someone, why do you do that? That's fine. And then you might grow. You might learn a little bit and find yourself looking at it a different way. Criticism is sin. Full stop. Despising someone is pride. Full stop. And those two sins are worse than what you wear on Sunday or what you eat or won't eat. We have to... I know some believers who come from a Hindu background. They're still vegans. That's not wrong. It's not wrong to refuse to eat meat. Often a Christian from a Muslim background will still not be able to eat bacon. That's not wrong. But now let's have a look at verse 7, chapter 14 and verse 7. For we do not live to ourselves alone, and we do not die to ourselves alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. But now have a look at verse 15. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by eating destroy your brother or sister for whom Christ died. No man is an island. We live in a fellowship. And the way we live affects the fellowship. If my conscience says that's sin, oh, I'm forgetting to turn the, sorry. That's the first one. And yeah, let me just make the, read that bottom statement there. Don't make a battle of secondary issues. If someone's conscience says it is sin, for him it is sin, even if my conscience doesn't say it's sin for me. But now I'd like to read verse 16, and it's something that I think hasn't been as well taught as those other two concepts that we've just had. It says, do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. So, okay, what you consider good, that this is the strong people who are more free. And there may be someone who is more strict. And for them, some things are evil, and they want to teach that in the church. That's not allowed. On these matters that are outside the, the statement of faith, the creed, we all have to agree to the creed, don't we? I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And so on. The resurrection, the ascension, the fact that Jesus is the sacrifice for our sins, the infallibility of Scripture, those things are not negotiable. I'm not talking about those things today. Everyone has to agree with those things. But on these other things, where the Bible says it is possible to have two different points of view and still be a believer, then we don't allow someone who's stricter to make it a law for the church. There was a lovely fellow, a friend of my father's, who made himself a gospel van and used to drive around preaching. And I said to my father one day, why doesn't Will come to church? And Dad said, oh, he's stricter than we are, and he's made a strict fellowship a bit further down the coast. Okay, it's a bit sad. When my father passed away, there were some stricter people in our church that seemed to get control too. And I mightn't feel as comfortable there as I did when I was growing up. But to balance that one, there's another one that I haven't heard taught very much either in chapter and verse 22. Whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. So those people who feel, yeah, I'm free to do that, or I'm free to do this, they're not to force it on the people who want to be strict about something, who want to sacrifice something for the sake of worship for God. They can't make it a law for the whole church either. It seems Paul is laying down guidelines so that I'm not to bully anyone else with what I believe, and they're not to bully me with what they believe. They're not to teach it to the church, but we do have to be aware that sometimes, even if they notice how we live, we might stumble them. We have to live in love if we can. I was in a Bible study this week, and a lady said, She has a friend who's an alcoholic. She's witnessing to this friend. And the friend said to her one day, you got $3 so I can go and buy a fag? Would you have given someone $3 to get a cigarette? I mean, we all know that's not good for them. But she thought, well, alcohol's the worst. We'll work on alcohol first. We'll leave the fags for now. So she gave her $3 to go and buy a fag. And one of the other ladies in the Bible study group was horrified. She, no, you never should do that. But it was love in her heart. She wanted to identify with this alcoholic some way. And she thought, yeah, she'll know that I love her if I give her $3 for a fag. The same lady invited a friend to church, and the lady came. I don't know if it was the same lady. And they were all sitting around having a cup of tea after church, and the non-Christian lady was there, and she swore. And all the Christian ladies were shocked. And one of the Christian ladies said to her, "Madam, we don't speak like that in here." And she never came again. You have to be so careful, don't you? It might have been all right to say something gently, although I wouldn't have. I have a non-Christian friend and he swears and I don't say anything. When I was at school, the other guys, there were only two of us born again in the whole year the other guys would swear and I wouldn't say anything. But eventually they never heard me swear, and they would apologize if they swore in front of me. I didn't have to say anything. And if those ladies had been a little bit more thoughtful, it may be that she would have come and she would have learned. It's interesting, isn't it? Thinking about what is going to show love? What is going to advance unity? All right. Now, I'm admitting that this is not easy. Jesus prayed for the unity of the church, and this is one of Jesus' prayers that hasn't been answered yet. That's a long time he's been praying that. I worked it out last night. If Jesus was 33 when he prayed John 17, how many years ago was that? 1970 something? Anyway, in chapter 15, there are three benedictions. As far as I know, it's the only chapter in the whole Bible that's got three benedictions. And I think it's because of this problem that unity is difficult. And loving one another is difficult. So let's read the benedictions together. Brian's already read one of them, two of them once. May the God, this is verses 5 and 6 of chapter 15. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's two things. God can give us a spirit of unity. God can give us a yearning for unity. God can give us a longing for unity. And in order to achieve that, God can also give us endurance and encouragement. So, I'm listening to my friend and he's swearing. I don't like it. Maybe if he used some even worse swear words, I might complain. But God's giving me endurance just to cope with that, so that one day he might come to know Jesus. I took him to the Franklin Graham Crusade, and it's the first Christian meeting he'd been to in yonks, and he loved it. So you never know. And then verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. You can have hope too. Sometimes when you're praying for unity, we don't have a lot of hope. But God is the God of hope. There is hope. Pray for unity and pray with faith. Believe that God can do it. Believe that God can give the endurance and the encouragement necessary. And the last benediction is down to the end of the chapter, verse 33. May the God of peace be with you all. The God who gives endurance. The God of hope. The God of peace. Yeah, that should be enough. Now, last night I got an email, and I looked up, I watched the video, and I was really blown away. Here is a whole neighborhood in the USA where they are putting this into practice. There are 90 churches in the area. And out of those 90 churches, 80 of them are meeting together for prayer. 80 of the pastors are meeting together for prayer. And they pray with one another. And they have divided the month or 2 months or 3 months into days, and each church accepts one day when they will spend 24 hours with someone, at least someone, praying. So this church says, righto, our day is Thursday, the first week of the month, and we're going to have someone in church praying for the whole 24 hours. We'll have a roster. So that in that area, there is 24/7 prayer all the time. And then they said, we've started to notice the difference. We've noticed the difference in our anti-abortion clinic. We have a pro-life clinic here, and pregnant girls come in and we pray with them and we show them the photos of the fetus, and they watch the baby moving in their own stomach on the ultrasound. And they fall in love with the baby and they don't want to kill it. She said, we've had enormous success with our pro-life clinic. And then they went through area after area. There was the Christian businessmen of this area. They meet together and encourage one another. And they overcome the business's problems together, and one man will lend another man a loan to get over a hump, and business is working better for Christians. And they went through 10 or 15 different areas of life. saying, yeah, we have prayer about this, and it's working. We have prayer about this, and it's working. One man from the Spanish community said, I have baptized 200 new people this year. So I want to encourage you to go home and have a look at that. If you Google the Whatcom story, not WhatsApp, Whatcom, the Whatcom story, the video comes up straight away. Matter of fact, there's three videos you can choose from, a shorter one and a longer one. I wonder what would happen if all the ministers of Darlington should get together and pray, and if you people should opt, should say, yeah, let's choose one day a month and do 24-hour prayer. I go to a prayer house called Hope, WA, House of Prayer for Everyone. They want to get 24/7 prayer going in Western Australia, in the city of Perth. That lady who runs the House of Hope, she has been to visit every pastor she knows. Because she wants to see something like this happening. I've sent this video to her too. Unity. I mean, we all know that prayer is essential, but prayer in unity is a stronger thing. There is a good reason to get from God that endurance and encouragement that enables us to put up with, no, to accept one another. It's important. And when we have that beautiful unity, the neighbours around are going to notice. Do you remember what the Romans said about the Christians? See how these Christians love one another. It's time, people. Amen.
Not here.
Let's stand and sing together.